Hey everyone, Nicole with Redeemed here. We had some technical difficulty with the sound this week. You will notice some intermittent sound for the first 3.5 minutes and then it should clear up. Thank you so much for your patience.
So, one of the fun things we've been doing this series, Why, which we're looking at why we do the things we do as a church and kind of the reasons behind it, and realize that our why. Goal. No. I mean, when I walked up here, you're like, "Oh, this goal's back." And then 2 weeks have got me. I thought this was going to be a really, really easy series. It's like, oh, we have these really defined moments that we're talking about. We talked about, you know, why scripture, and it was like, okay, it seems like it could fit perfectly inside its system. Dr. McGrew come and talk to us. And then we had Ashley share with us why we gather, and it seems like they should all be these compartmentalized messages, when in reality they keep blending. Like, we're working to not jump into the other one. Like, Ashley kept working to go, oh, I can't talk about this because that's coming up, and I can't talk about that, and how they, it got a lot harder than I just. So, John, do I just need to change the pack out? Okay. All right. Well, we're just going to keep talking, and at some point, John can help me do something, or not. This is going to work. So, today we're talking about prayer. And this is an important one. And it's a really difficult thing at the same time. And both things can be true. In theory, prayer is simple. If I had just close your eyes and talk to God. But then, in reality, it's really, really hard. Because you're messing all of these understandings and thoughts of who God is, and then you take things down to this really personal level, and it can be difficult. I've been asked people who aren't on staff to help with these services, whether it's coming up and doing announcements, or leading prayer. People would much rather do announcements than prayer. That was always the one where we get people go, oh. Like, one of the most terrifying things for people is when you say, hey, would you open us in prayer or close us in prayer? So, oh man, everyone's going to hell. And so, prayer is just this weird thing, and it shouldn't be weird, but it's weird. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. And one of the things we look at, especially in prayer, but a lot of things in the Bible ask this question is it prescriptive or is it descriptive? And I've brought this up a lot of times. Is the Bible saying, do like this? Or is it saying, hey, this thing happened, and this is an event we're looking at? So, we get into these rhythms, or we get into routines. Rhythms and routines can both be good, just like something being prescriptive and something being descriptive can be good, but they can also be really bad. Because we get into the routine of prayer, and there's times that we pray, right? Like, we pray before bed. And I always found this prayer funny, is now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And this is what we teach our little kids. Every night we go, son, get through the night. You know, it's like every night, it's like opposite pirate Robert's going, you don't sleep well, Wesley, I may kill you in the morning. You know, it's this weird thing we do with our prayers, but we get into this routine of it. So we pray before bed, we pray before we eat. We're like, God, I'm about to make a horrible decision in eating this food. I should not be eating from this really, really sketchy taco truck. But I'm trusting you to move in a God-like way and make this work. And so we pray before we eat. Sometimes we pray even to the Bible. it's those moments where we go, oh, I may have gotten myself in over my head. Or I want something. You know, you're sitting there, man, God, what I could do for you if you would just, you know, give me a brand new phone. What I could do for you if you would just take care of this situation. We go to the genie in the Bible and we look at God and say, okay, we need God to do big things. And maybe we even base it in Scripture. And we look at this one in Matthew 7 and say, ask and it will seek and you will knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Says, who among you, if a son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? And you ask for a fish, would give him a stick. But then, but you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father in heaven give good things to those asking? And so we look at that and we go, okay, well, maybe that's how I approach prayer, and I just ask God for these things. Or maybe we pray. Little prayers, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're told we need to pray. And you see, this verse also reminds us, when you pray, people like the Gentiles, since they'll be imagined, they'll be heard in many words. And this one always hurts me, because I'm a man of many words. Like, I can give that to you. Give in to more about prayer and more what it is and how we do it. Wow. But before we go further, let's pray. Loving Father, we praise you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together and to worship you and acknowledge you. This time to you and we ask God to set it aside as we do. And we set it forward as we do. Have all these moments, and we know these moments in Scripture as prayer. And we even talked about it a few weeks ago as we're looking at Easter, where Jesus went into the garden and he prayed. And he prayed with intention. And he's in this really, really quick moment. To ask God to change something, actually. So when we say prayer changes things, that's exactly what Jesus was praying in that moment. He was sitting there and he brought his disciples to pray with and for him in that moment as well, as he was going to God and saying, God, if there's any way that this can be different, I'm asking you to do that. Before that moment, when Jesus was laying out, this is what it looks like to be my disciple, and he was he was taking the Sermon on the Mount, and he was saying, hey, here's all the things you thought you understood, and this is really what it means to be in the kingdom of God, and these are the things you thought you understood, and here's the reality behind them. He also makes this statement, which is right after some of the verses that we looked at. He says, so therefore, when you pray, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored, is holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we've also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Jesus lays down and says, hey, here is how you should pray. Here is how you go about prayer, and he lays this out. Jesus is saying there is Elohim God, in the beginning God, the one that spoke everything into existence, the one who created everything from nothing, the one who set everything in order. That's who I'm talking to. This is the point where Jesus is going, hey, when you pray, after you acknowledge who God is and you say, I'm going to set this aside as a holy time, acknowledging God and whose God name is, I'm also going to put me to the side. And I'm going to go, before I say another word in this prayer, I need to make sure I'm aligned with God and not God aligned. One of the most important quotes I think ever was this one by Abraham Lincoln. A reporter was asking him about the war, and because it was a civil war, and there was so much conflict, and brother against brother, and household against household, the reporter asked what he probably thought was a really, really good question. He said, President Lincoln, are you concerned as to whether or not God is on your side? That's what that statement is. Your will be done is going, okay, God, I know what I want. I know what my flesh wants. I know when I'm going to genie in the Bible, God, I know what all that is. But what I'm really wanting right now is I want to make sure I'm with you. The Jewish history in context is back to their deliverance from Egypt in this time in the desert when God literally provided their daily bread, and they're going, hey, the God that showed up then, I'm asking to show up now. Not only am I asking, I'm trusting. That could be a really hard question. it's not. I just need to jump off this cliff. Things are going to come and attack our world and attack our mindset and try to disrupt us, to get us off the path, to get us worried about things, to make us tempted to go other directions. And I'm glad that you in Jesus' name, because this prayer was a standard prayer. So when Jesus started going, hey, I want you guys to pray like this, and started into it, most of us would have been like, oh yeah, we know this prayer. We understand this prayer. And then he throws this piece in there and says, oh yeah, forgive us our sins like we forgive others. Because forgiveness of others wasn't a concept. Your concept of if I wronged you, if I wronged Brandon, it was my responsibility to go to God and get forgiveness. Because God is God. I sin, God forgives. He put the other person, whether I've wronged them, because then I have to go and seek forgiveness. Or if they've wronged me, their God is to go to God. But I don't have to forgive them. There's everything between me and God. There's nothing to do with this back and forth with them. And Jesus said, no. This piece here is important. This loving your neighbor with forgiving them, it's important. Jesus lays this prayer out and he goes, this is how I want you to pray. This is how you go. And it sets this mindset in his heart. Not that it becomes your routine, as in I say these words constantly, but it's a rhythm. If we pray like this, it does change things. How can it happen? When I start acting out and I start doing things because I trust God and His faithfulness, because I understand who God is, it will change the way I go about things. I know you guys are getting sick of it, but A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about you is what comes into your mind. because these are the things when we're praying and we're acknowledging God for who He is and we're rejoicing constantly for who God is and what God is doing in our lives, and we're constantly in prayer and in these moments, it changes things. And the thing that changes the most is me. So much that, like, if my house is burning down, I would run into state this year. If the pastor was there, they would have to stop the stair. It's okay to use my brother's another one. But I would replace them easily. My desk is here. My desk is here. My desk is here. The stairs are here. I have spent almost no time in this. In the cold, it's not this chair. But this chair is for my kids. Because I work a lot. And so I have my desk, and I'll often be working late. And that chair is open. And my kids come in and they sit with me. And sometimes, there's also a TV in the office. And so Ricky or Jillian come in and throw on the game. I'm working, they'll do homework, they'll just sit there and watch the game, the girls will put on a movie or a show, or they'll do their homework in there. And they just go and they just sit in their chair. They spend time in that chair. We build relationships. Sometimes they sit down. There's times I've been this close to shut me down for a minute. It's like, I'm lonely. But, and the one of them will come in and sit. So we sit. And even if we're not talking, I'm not going to kick them out of that chair. That's what I'm saying. My other chair, again, twice as big, it's down in the basement where we watch movies. And I sit there, and last night we were playing Mario Kart, and I sat in the Ricky thing, sat next to me, and Gracie comes by, and she was all offended that Ricky was sitting there. She looks at him and goes, "Ricky, you sat there last night, and I got my spot back." And the girls will make deals about at what point in a movie or a show are they going to switch who's sitting there, because our chairs, this chair and that chair, are where I build relationships. This whole prayer constantly thing is about sitting in this chair with God. And sometimes just sitting in His presence. Sometimes we go, "Hey, let's have a deep talk." And this is where prayer sometimes gets weird, because we start with this, "Our Father in heaven," which is like, okay, here's God, and holy is your name, and Elohim, you created everything from nothing, and we spend so much time looking at the sovereignty and the almightiness of God, which is not something we should ever diminish, that we forget, because it's such a loving God that's going, "Hey, just sit in this chair." I don't understand why you're doing this. I don't understand why this is happening. What is going on here? God's like, "Yeah." And through this conversation, this time in the chair with God, for me, it's either I go for a long walk or I go for a long drive, and I just let God have it sometimes. And it's through this that God reaches out to me and goes, "Hey, let me tell you what I'm doing." Sometimes He looks at me and goes, "Hey, Rick, this isn't a meat problem, this is a meat problem. You should not be your will. You don't go to the Lord." He wants to know when I'm stressed about things. He wants to know when I'm angry. He wants to know when I'm joyful and when I'm celebrating. He wants to know when I'm worried. He wants to know when I don't feel good. He wants to know that. He wants you to sit in this chair. There's nothing like those moments of just sitting in the quiet. When we read Scripture, when we look at God's Word, are we actually clearing things off and going, "God, let's read this together"? I don't want to read this just to read this, but my reading is a prayer. where I'm going, God, I'm surrendering this time to you because of who you are, and I'm asking for you to speak to me through this time as we're studying the scripture together. Show me what it is that I need to be doing to become more aligned with you. Help me with the your will be done. But then it also shows his interaction with his creation. And it sets this stage in which he would walk in the coolness of the day. Some translations would say in the evening breeze. It also shows that God is the sometimes we separate that from the like we've done something. And the exact opposite is true, because in Genesis 3, verse 8, it says, the man and wife heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God showed up to their conversation like he always does, and they said, we messed up, we sinned against God, we're going to go hide, because no longer can we be in this conversation with God. Goes on and says, so the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. I was naked, so I hid. Because creation said, I'm no longer worthy of this conversation in this presence with God. I'm no longer worthy to sit in a chair with God. I have sinned too much. I have done too much. This conversation, this communion, this relationship is no longer the same. And God's simple answer was, we told you. Jesus, we told you that because it wasn't. Are things different? Yeah. But my love for you and my desire for you, the relationship with you was never changed. I want to be a part of this person. Thank you. worries and my concerns and my struggles and my burdens and my sicknesses and my joys and my celebrations and my successes, and I hand them all to God and I say, look at God, this is only because of you, and only can we get through it because of you, and I trust you because you are good. So a giving up to God of a moment, of a time, of ourselves. And so Joel's going to play a little bit, Tony's going to play a little bit, and we're just going to sit in some silence. Thank you. Overwhelm us with your presence. With our first thought,